Take it to him in prayer. God bless you, saints. Good to be in church this morning. Let's stand. This is 151 in your hymn book. You glad you're one of them this morning?
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with that fire that fell at Pentecost. It cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now. I'm one of them, I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it, me, no most of worldly fame. seek this blessing, it will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul on flame. It is burning now within my heart, oh glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Shake hands with your neighbor this morning.
Good to be one of them, isn't it?
Amen.
God bless you. We got a special visitor with us this morning, Sister Sherry Virgin. Good to have her back with us from Israel and from being sick. And Brother Pierce and his family, Brother Weber and his family, good to have them back from vacation. And we certainly missed them all, and good to have them back. But got a couple of testimonies I want to share. Sister Estera, she'd come up for prayer a few weeks ago and had kind of injured one of her ribs and was concerned that it might be broken, but she had x-rays and doctors confirmed that it's not broken, so praise the Lord for that. And then Brother David Eplin's aunt, whose house burnt down last weekend, we'd had a word of prayer for them, and her son Aaron, who was waiting for a transplant and was in the hospital with pneumonia, he's doing better. And they've already have a house under contract to have it rebuilt, and three different lenders are offering to finance it, so praise the Lord for that. And want to announce, Lord willing, November the 30th, which is a Thursday, we'll be having a youth Bible study here at the church in the fellowship area for the young people that are single, ages 10 to 30, from 7:30 to 9:30. So remember that in prayer. And then also we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Trevor, he's preaching for Brother Luke Gibson in South Carolina this weekend, so we'll remember him for those services this morning and this evening, and also for safe travels. And then Sister Christy and Sister Julie and Sister Sarah's Grandma Betty that we've been praying for. She was able to go home from the hospital and is feeling much better. But just continue to remember her in prayer that she'll regain her strength. And then Sister Patty Ard, she had surgery for diverticulitis this week. And I want to remember her in prayer for a good recovery. She's also scheduled Monday for another surgery to have her dialysis port moved again. So I want to remember her in prayer for that. Brother Lauren, he had an infection in his knee joints, the doctors found this week, and they took him to the emergency room and found that the infection tested positive for MRSA, and so they're testing to see if that has entered his bloodstream. Want to remember that in prayer, and the doctors want to remove his kneecap and just leave it removed until the infection is gone and then do surgery to put a new knee in, but they have to consult with his heart doctor first about that. So this is the same surgery that he had a couple years ago on the opposite knee. So just want to remember him in prayer during this time. And then Brother Bill from Brother Morse's church, I know Brother Layton and different ones of you know him. He had a heart stent put in this week, and Brother Morse requested that we remember him in prayer for a quick recovery. Sister Patty Hansel, her dad's sister, Marcella Lang, passed away yesterday. So I want to remember the family in prayer, especially Marcella's children and the rest of the family. And also Janet Milby. She was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She's currently 88 years old and will try going through the chemo that they suggested if her heart can handle it. So I want to remember that situation. And then Sister Barbara, she's not feeling well this morning. Sister Barbara Stutzman. And Brother Furman also requested prayer for his Aunt Irma. She's been having a lot of health issues. And Sister Laura Prakash requested prayer for her sister Grace. She's having spinal surgery tomorrow in Lexington. Please pray for a successful surgery and recovery. So many requests, but we know the Lord's more than able to come on the scene for each one. Amen. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Lee, would you just come this morning, lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? We're a needy people, but we serve a God that's more than able. Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever circumstances you're going through, maybe it's health, maybe it's spiritual, maybe it's financial, whatever it is, He knows all about it, and He's more than able to come on the scene for you.
Let's all bow our heads. Father, no doubt each and every one of us has a need this morning. Lord, whether it's physical, spiritual, Lord, know all about each situation, God. You're more than able to push the enemy back. God, we just ask, Lord, that you would do that for us this morning. Lord, there's many requests that's been made known, Lord, and Father, you know each and every situation. God, you know all about it, Father. Lord, we just want to put our trust in you this morning. Father, we ask that you would just continue to bless the service this morning. Bless Brother Nathan, Lord, help him to step out of the way. And Lord, that you might minister to each and every heart, every soul, God, every person that has a need this morning. Father, we come to worship you and lift you up this morning. Not to be seen or heard, but Lord, just to, Lord, lift you up in spirit and truth and worship you, Lord. Granted, Father, as we do that this morning, Father, help us, Lord, to not worry about what the other one thinks about us or what, Lord, the other one's doing. Just help us, Lord, get into the Spirit. Lord, just lift you up and praise you, who's worthy of everything and all our praise this morning. Grant all these needs, Father. We just put them before you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
I think my mind went somewhere else this morning. I forgot it was me. I was expecting the young folks to be walking in to sing for some reason. Oh, well, I'll just claim a senior moment. How's that? We sure had a good time yesterday at the Thanksgiving dinner for all of you elder folks. And we enjoyed the dinner. We enjoyed all the fellowship. We got to see a lot of friends that some of them we haven't seen since last year. But, you know, one day we'll see each other and we won't have to part. And if we spend a million years talking with one, we go see another, it'd be just like it was a moment, wouldn't be any time at all. Certainly happy, though, and the young people out at the Stillwaters was so good to all of us and waiting on us. And Brother Joseph lined all the sisters up on the end in front of the food, and it was like, they say, was it 80 of them? My goodness. He called them angels. And, you know, friends, when you look out at the world today and the way the people dress, go down to Wally World if you want to go to a circus. And that's Walmart, for those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about. We call it Wally World. You can see all kinds of filth. And when you look and see these young women working out there and so kindly and patiently waiting on the elders, it's been in a battle a few years, and see how they're dressed and how they act, and you realize how beautiful they really are, not just outside but inside. And it makes you thankful for a God that sent a prophet in our day and a message and a revealed word. Yes. And not only has people like myself and Brother Buckles and Brother Ard and some of the others held this message up before the people, but to see our young folks getting a hold of it, believing it, and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ when he calls it, it does your heart good to realize that maybe next year some of us won't be here. If there is a next year, somebody said, let's hope the Lord comes. So I trust he will. I want him to. I want to get out of this pest house. It's so terrible. But nonetheless, we're here, so let's worship him. Amen. Brother Bram said, that's what we come to do, is to worship and praise him and to hear his word. And that's what I come for. So let's read the 20th chapter of the book of Psalm. Most of you probably already know where we're at since we're going in number order. Or at least we're trying to. I did have that right. It is 20, right? We're not going to go there, Brother Nathan. 20th chapter reads like this. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Remember all thy suffering, all thy offerings, excuse me. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright.
Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. God bless you. Please be seated.
God bless you, saints. If the brothers would please come at this time.
I'm on my way to kingdom land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. Praise God, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
sing it this morning.
He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He will be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He's an on-time. Yes, He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He will be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an
We want to say thank you, Jesus, for all you have given us. Yes, Lord, though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that so much to give Him thanks for. Let's sing it to Him this morning. Lord, we want to say thank you, Jesus. Lord, for all the grace you have given us. Lord, and though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that I thank you and thank you. tried this morning. Oh Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing. No others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Lord, for I'm fully persuaded of this word. By the grace of God, I'll keep on believing. That how you feel this morning? Oh, Lord, I'm determined. Whatever Satan throws at me, I'm gonna keep on believing. And though others fall away, Lord, I'll keep on receiving. Oh, for we're fully persuaded. Just by His grace. Amen. Wasn't anything you did to deserve it. Wasn't anything that you do that keeps holding you, but it's Him. Amen. Brother Branham, that man asked him after his wife and his baby had died. He said, Billy, did you keep your religion? He said, no, it kept me. Amen. Amen. There was something that was holding him. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. And verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, we recognize that we're just walking by faith, Lord. We're living by faith. Lord, everything in the Christian walk, Brother Branham taught us that it was by faith, Father. Lord, that we don't have anything in the natural, Lord, that we can hold on to, but that the entire, spiritual warfare of the Christian, the entire armor, Father, was just a spiritual warfare that we're facing, Lord, a helmet of salvation, and a shield of faith, and a sword of the word, all these things, Father, it's something that spiritually we apply by faith, and we look to you, Lord. We're living by faith, Lord, where every breath that we take, Lord, it isn't promised to us, but, Lord, we take that next breath believing in faith that you'll give it to us, Lord. Lord, as we look into your word again this morning, Lord, may you encourage us, may you strengthen us. Lord, may you just uplift those that maybe have stumbled and fallen. Lord, may you encourage those that maybe through the week have been discouraged. Lord, may you just move on the scene in a way that only you can. Take complete control, Lord, of every aspect of the service. Lord, we thank you for the singing, Lord, for the worship. Lord, now as we enter into the word, Lord, may you just have preeminence in everything that is said and done, Father. We'll give you the glory for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. We've been looking at this thought for a couple of weeks on by faith, and we want to look at that again this morning with the help of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, again in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16. And we want to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture this morning, but I believe it'll do us good. And as we said Wednesday night, the Word is eternal, and so it doesn't matter how many times that we look at it, if it's just the simple stories of Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath, these different things, the more we look at it and the more that we glean from it, the Lord just keeps shining more and more and more light on these things, and it's because His Word is eternal. If you was to go and you know, read some other book over and over and over and over, eventually, you know, you'd get the point and it'd get old, and that would be that. But when it comes to God's Word, it's something that's eternal, that we can look at references that people have skimmed back and forth through and looked through and studied through for centuries and for thousands of years, and yet we can still look at it and gain inspiration and revelation. It's because the Word of God, when He speaks something, it's eternal. Now, when we speak something, it could fail. When we speak something, no matter how good our intentions, it may change from day to day, our condition, our circumstances, our opinions, whatever it would be. But when God speaks something, it's eternal. And He doesn't change His opinion. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't change His way of doing things. So whenever He speaks something, it's from eternity, and we can hold on to it with everything that's within us. We have a sure foundation and an anchor when God speaks something. So, amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Sister Sherry and Brother Yarbrough and Sister Mary Beth, they was just here a few weeks ago. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." In other words, you didn't learn this in a seminary. Nobody sat and taught this to you. You didn't just read it in a book and gain it as intellectual knowledge, but it's become a personal revelation to you. He said, "You're blessed, Peter." I want to say this morning, you're blessed when the Word becomes a personal revelation to you. It's one thing to read it. We appreciate that. It's one thing to be taught it. Those of you that was raised in Christian homes or raised even around the Message, we appreciate that you were raised in it, that you were taught it as a child. But there's many that were taught it as a child that walk away and leave it. There's many that were raised in Christian homes that walk away and leave it. But when it comes a personal revelation to you, then you're blessed. Amen. It's a blessing to be raised around it. It's a blessing to be taught it. But you're truly blessed when it becomes a personal revelation to you, because somebody can convince you away from it if it's just something that's intellectual that you've received. But once it becomes a personal revelation, all the winds, all the storms, all the demons out of hell can't shake you from it once it becomes a personal revelation to you. Oh my, what an assurance that we have. As I talked last week, Brother Hoover's wearing green this week instead of white. But last week I asked him what color shirt he was wearing. He said, "White." I said, "How do you know that that's white?" He said, "Well, because my mother told me." I said, "Well, what if she was in some color cult and she just wanted to tell you it was white because that's what she thought?" And I said, "How would you know for sure?" It's because we have a standard that we can go back to and say by a color chart, this is white and this is yellow and this is green and this is black and this is blue. And we have a standard that we can go back to, that if your revelation doesn't match the standard, then you have a wrong revelation somewhere. Amen. But once your revelation lines right up and you recognize that you see it in the Scripture, not just something taken out of context over here or something isolated over there, but when you can look by faith and recognize line upon line, precept upon precept, as we say 47 to 65 or Genesis to Revelations, that it lines up exactly with the Word, then you have a foundation that you can stand upon. You have something that all the winds, all the waves, nothing can shake you from it, because you have a foundation that I know in whom I have believed. No wonder Peter could say, or Paul rather could say, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it this morning. I'm not ashamed of this message. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the calling that he called me to. I'm not ashamed because I see it in the Word. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the Word. I'm ashamed of a lot of things. You can look back through my life. There's a lot of different things I could point you to. I'm ashamed of the way I handled this. I'm ashamed of the way I did this. I'm ashamed of what I maybe used to believe years ago or whatever it would be. But I'm not ashamed of the Word. There's been many times that I've been wrong, but the Word was never wrong. Amen. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, a lot of people think it was the physical rock he was standing on there. Some people think it was Peter, but he's talking about, as Brother Branham shows us, the revelation of who he was. The revelation of who Jesus Christ was the foundation, the rock that he would build his church upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We get worried sometimes. We think, what about North Korea? What about this? What about that? What about the economy? What about health situations? What about diseases and mosquitoes and different things packing all kinds of different germs and things that could kill us? What about this? What about that? I figure if the gates of hell can't prevail against us, then North Korea or mosquitoes or viruses or nothing else is going to prevail against us until God says it's ready for me to go. Amen. When he says it's time, I'm ready anyhow. So the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a promise this morning. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, Brother Benham picks this up in faith, works as faith expressed in 1965, and he says, now faith is a revelation from God. He repeats it. Now, faith is a revelation. He's not stuttering. He's trying to emphasize this to us. Faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. It's nothing you did. Oh, but Brother Nathan, I did this, and this week I went and I helped Sister so-and-so, and I raked leaves for Brother so-and-so, and I listened to this many tapes, and I prayed this many hours, and I read the Bible this many hours, and this many chapters, and I was at church this many services this month, and I did this, and I did that, I helped the poor, and Paul said, if I give my body to be burnt, right, even if I give all my goods to feed the poor, even if I know all the mysteries, it's nothing. It's not anything you did. Now, I'm not saying that we should just do away with works. It's good that you do those things. It's good that you help Sister so-and-so. We believe in doing that. It's good that you gave your money to help the poor. The Bible teaches us to do that. It's good that you came to church. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Those are good things. These aren't bad things, but don't think that you're going to make it in on that. He said, it's nothing you did. Oh, but I wear my skirts a certain length, and I haven't cut my hair in 27 years. And that's wonderful. You should do that. The Word teaches us that. But I just read, we may look at it tonight, but I read last night, I guess it was, that Brother Branham said, it's not long skirts and long hair that gets you to heaven. It's not anything you did. You just obeyed the Word, and God respected that. God had respect to you because of that. But it's not what you did. It's what he did. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You ever have faith, it's given to you by the grace of God. We look at great mighty men of valor, you know, like David and Samson and Jephthah and the different ones that we look at here in this faith chapter. And we think, oh my, look what they did. It wasn't what they did. Samson would in no way have been able to slay 1,000 Philistines in himself. We look at him in the paintings and things of some great big brawny man, but Brother Branham said that wouldn't have been, you know, no shock if he could have did those things. He said he was a little curly-headed shrimp, a mama's boy. And yet God uses him to slay 1,000. Not with a machine gun, not with a bazooka, not with some 18-foot sword or a spear, but with the old jawbone of a donkey. Samson could look around when it was all over and say, it wasn't what I did, it was what he did. God puts us in situations sometimes to let us recognize it wasn't your driving ability that saved you from that wreck. It wasn't your knowledge that got you into this message. It wasn't your good looks that got you to that predestinated seat of God that was going to be your wife or your husband. It wasn't anything that you did. It was the grace of God, anything good that happened to you. You ever have faith, it's given to you by the grace of God. Oh my, Brother Nathan, we've been having some wonderful healings. My, the people's faith must be elevated, or your faith must be elevated, or it wasn't anything I did. It was what he did. And God, he says, reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. A Baptist minister told me not long ago, he said, I just can't accept revelation. I said, then you cannot accept the Bible. People say, oh, it's too supernatural for me. It's too unscientific for me. All these different things. Then you can't accept the Bible. Hey man, you can't accept Jonah and the whale if you have to be proven everything scientifically. You can't accept it. You can't accept the three Hebrew children standing in the fiery furnace for 3 hours and their clothes not even smelling like smoke or their hair not being singed. You can't explain that to me scientifically, but I believe it with all of my heart. How do you know, Brother Nathan? You wasn't there. How do you know? You don't have a photograph or a video. You don't have a sample of their clothing. You don't have a sample of the elements in the fire. How do you know? Because he's brought me through some fires too. I know if he's brought me through some things that scientifically and intellectually and physically I can't prove, then he could bring them through too. Then you cannot accept the Bible. He says you cannot accept Christ because he is the revelation of God. He's God revealed in flesh. Therefore, the whole church is built upon divine revelation. Let's turn over again to Hebrews chapter 11. Begin to look there. We're going to backtrack a little bit of where we were last week, but let's look at Hebrews 11 chapter or verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It wasn't because he was smarter. It wasn't because he was richer. Wasn't because he was better looking. Wasn't because his parents gave him a better opportunity. Nope. Wasn't because they took Abel to church more than they took Cain to church. Wasn't because he had a few more breaks than Cain had. By faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen. He didn't offer it because that he had read the manual more detailed. He didn't offer it because he had studied intellectually religion and God more than Cain did. He offered this more excellent sacrifice on faith alone. Amen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What his testimony lived on even after he was dead. God said, the blood of righteous Abel speaks to me from the ground. His testimony remained. We was here at the church on Thursday night having a men's meeting, and we were talking about being an encourager and trying to encourage someone. And we were talking about different ones that had encouraged us over the years, and how that many times when it comes to the walk of life, that people can look back and maybe famous people, maybe inventors or scientists or great mighty man that was historically speaking that did great things for our country, they could point you back. Abraham Lincoln said it was his godly mother, his stepmother there that had raised him, that had instilled these things in him as a child. That was where he gave credit to. Brother Branham said if there's any credit that can be given to the Branham family, he gave it to his wife. And he set that example, and yet it seems like around the message we've got a lot of, I forget how you pronounce that. Is it mouth chauvinistic pigs, I think is how you say that? But he didn't set us that example.
Right.
Hey man, he said, if there's any credit that can be given the Branham family, it's my wife. He said, if there's anything that God could give a man better than a wife, except outside of salvation, he would have given it to him.
Yes.
To me, that's the greatest compliment that could be paid a woman, that could be paid anybody. The greatest thing God could give you outside of your salvation. And yet many times we just let that most beautiful thing, most perfect thing, most excellent thing that God could give us outside of salvation just sit there. We don't ever compliment it. I'm not making it an object. We're just talking this morning. We don't ever say anything to her of appreciation. I thought the sisters would be standing on the pew shouting by now. To show the appreciation for the greatest thing that God could give you outside of salvation. If God blessed you with a gift this morning, a supernatural gift that put your name on the map and people knew you because, oh my, he has a gift of prophecy, or he has one of the fieriest gifts of ministry in the message, or, oh my, when he prays for the sick, they're healed. My, we would be thanking God constantly. Thank you, God, for that gift that you sent in my life. Thank you for that power. Thank you for that strength. But Brother Branham didn't say healing or faith or prophecy or tongues or good works or righteousness was the best gift that God gave you out of salvation. He said your humble little wife sitting there beside you this morning was. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes the preacher preaches to the preacher too, Brother Hoover. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it's going out there and bouncing right back. The appreciation of things and encouragers that have went on before us. And one brother was telling us of his grandmother, how she had had such an impact on his life as a young man, how that she instilled things in his life, an impact, because she was an encourager. She encouraged him to pray. She encouraged him to read his Bible. Before he'd get up and go to school, she'd have prayer with him. And she had such a character, a godly character, that it left something. Even though she's in the grave, as far as her physical body, we know that her soul isn't dead. She's just in another dimension. But even though we can't go and physically speak to her this morning, even though we can't go and shake her hand and say, God bless you, sister, for the gallant life that you led that had such an impact on this young man, yet her testimony is still speaking. Footprints on the sands of time. We can leave some good footprints, or we can leave some old, moldy, nasty, rotten things that we did as footprints. But there's footprints that we leave that are an impact on our children, on our grandchildren, on the people in the church, on the people at our jobs, the ones we come in contact with. And maybe we don't even recognize sometimes the impact that it's having. But Abel, here he had been dead for thousands of years. And Paul says, he still speaketh. Because his testimony of the faith that he had still lived on. Jesus spoke of the little woman there, and he said her testimony will be told wherever this gospel is preached. It's still living on today because of the impact that it had by faith. Works is faith expressed, again, 1965. Abel by faith, revelation. No Bible written in those days. By Abel by faith. Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that which Cain, which God testified he was righteous. How? By faith. How? By revelation. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field, it was the blood. Now, it wasn't that his parents had sat there and explained this to him. If so, then why didn't Cain have the same revelation, but when he had been raised by the same two people? Why didn't he have the same idea? It was because this revelation speaking to Abel said, wait a minute, it wasn't fruits. It wasn't an apple. It wasn't an orange. It wasn't an apricot. It wasn't that kind of fruit. You need to have a blood sacrifice. It's going to take a blood atonement. If it was fruits, then why didn't God offer fruits for your parents back there? But he slayed a lamb and he clothed them in the clothes from the lamb because it was a blood sacrifice. Paul teaches us in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And by revelation, he recognizes and he goes out there and sacrifices and he gets this little lamb. Cain says, where are you going, Abel? I'm going down to sacrifice. And he's got this little lamb under his arm. And here comes Cain with his wheelbarrow of self-righteousness and works. I'm going down. Look how beautiful my altar is. Yours is just an old haggard rock over there, but look how beautiful I made this and orchestrated it, and I did this and I did that, and I grew that tree. I watered it and took care of it and pruned it, and now look how beautiful the fruit is from it. I'm going to take the best fruits and I'm going to go and I'm going to lay them on the altar and sacrifice. That's all right. You do whatever you feel led to do. I'll do whatever I feel led to do. By revelation, he went. And he takes this little lamb and he lays it upon the altar and he begins to chip away at its throat with a sharp rock, and it begins to bleed and to bleat and to quiver and to shake, and he puts his hands upon it and he feels the suffering of this lamb, and the blood begins to run down his hands, and Cain looks over and says, "What a mess. Look at that little holy roller over there. Oh my, I could never come that way." That's right, Cain, you can't. Even though God said he'd be long-suffering to you if you'd come and do like Abel did, even though you was serpent seed, he gave you a chance, but you couldn't accept it. Right. He says, "I could never do that." Brother Branham says, any birth is a mess. But he said, people are afraid of that new birth. They're afraid they'll get a little snot on their sleeve, or their neighbor will talk about them, or the person in the pew will judge them, or they'd be afraid for the Spirit to really get a hold of them and do something with them. Why? Because it's a mess. Right. Amen. It's a mess, but that's all right. It was a mess when Abel stood up there and sacrificed this lamb, but by faith he did it. By revelation he did it. Amen. He said that's why some people can believe it. And some can't believe it. Some try to make believe it. He says in an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you'll find some, and they were all good people, will say. There's some that's trying hard to believe it. Trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now there's the difference. See, that does it. Can you imagine people come up into the prayer line, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." Brother Bram says, "Do you believe?" "Yes, I believe." He said most of them, 900, I think he said, and 90 out of every 1,000 didn't have faith. They had hope. They're going through hoping. "Lord, I hope this works. I hope this works. I hope this works." But it hadn't become a personal revelation to them. Amen. Amen. When we read the Word of God and we begin to look at it, we're taught these things. We can look, and I believe it was Paul taught us that experience breeds hope, that by experience, when we see God heal somebody else, it breeds hope that, hey, he healed Sister Cheryl, he can heal me. He healed Brother Hoover, he can heal me. We begin to look by hope and recognize God's not a respecter of persons, so I can go up there and I can hope that if he can heal Brother Layton, he can heal me. But it takes more than that. It takes more than just looking at what he did for somebody else. It takes more than just recognizing what he did in 1957 or on the Seas of Galilee. It has to come down to a personal revelation to you that by faith you recognize that scripture wasn't for Brother Layton. That scripture was for me. That scripture wasn't just for Brother Hoover. It wasn't just, it's not a hope so for me. It's a revelation that I can anchor on, that God backs up his word and that he spoke this word, and every promise that he spoke is a personal promise to me. Every promise that he spoke. If he said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, I can read my name in there. If he said by faith you are saved, I can read my name in there. If he said, these signs shall follow them that believe, I can read my name right in there. Amen. If he said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, I can read my name in there. It becomes a personal Amen. Revelation to me that what he promised is my personal property. If he said to apply the token and I and my house shall be saved, then I can receive it as a personal promise to Nathan Bryant. It's mine by faith. By revelation, we can hold on to it. Can't just be for somebody else. Can't be for some other age. It has to be a promise to you. He said that's the real revelation. Because faith is a revelation from God, it must be revealed first. Moses 1950, he said, maybe there's some of you, maybe there's some of it you do not understand. He said, frankly, friends, there's much of it that I do not understand. What? You mean a vindicated prophet of God? And yet he begins to talk about the word and he says, there's much of it I don't understand. He said, I just accept it. Right. Don't never try to figure God out. You can't do it. God is not understood by knowledge. God is understood by faith. Is that right? We looked at Noah the other week. Can you imagine if Noah would have tried to understand? God said, it's going to rain. And if he had said, now, God, now, wait a minute. I've got to have a little bit of scientific proof here. I mean, I don't have to have it all laid out as a blueprint, but you've got to give me something. You got to show me a cloud. You got to show me some kind of a something. I have to be able to understand this. He said, it's going to rain. And if my word isn't good enough for you, then I can find somebody else. Noah said, well, that's good enough for me, Lord. If his word isn't good enough for you, then he'll just walk right on by and find somebody else. You say, oh, I have faith to be healed, Brother Nathan. If you're just hoping this morning, he'll walk right on by your pew and find somebody that has the faith anchored down to say, it's a revelation to me. If you're still trying to figure it out and trying to explain it, trying to find some tangible something, I have no tangible proof that I'm saved to give to you this morning. I don't have a certificate. I don't have a written signed approval stamped with the signature of God or with a signet ring, but I know that my life compares to what the Word of God promised. And when I look at that, I can see by faith I am saved. Amen. I can look into the Word of God and see what He promised me for healing. And I can look into the Word, and even if my symptoms don't testify of it yet, I can say I am healed. Right. By His stripes, Nathan Bryant is healed.
Right.
Why don't you read your name in there this morning?
Amen.
By His stripes, Jennifer Soderquist is healed. By His stripes, Bill Yarbrough is healed. By His stripes, you are healed this morning. Because, why? Because you feel like it? No, because He said so.
Amen.
And it wasn't what you did. It wasn't what you deserved. It wasn't all that you could try. It was what He did. And we accept it by faith, just as Noah stood there and he said, Lord, you said it's going to rain, and I don't see any rain, and I don't feel any rain, and it doesn't feel, the climate doesn't feel any different. I don't feel any more moisture than I did yesterday. I don't see any more moisture than I did yesterday, but I'm getting me some wood and some nails, and I'm going to go to building anyhow because you gave the promise.
Amen.
God is not understood by knowledge. God is understood by faith. Is that right? He said, what if Peter would have tried to figure out how deep that water was and how impossible it was for him to walk on that water? He'd have never walked. He said, Lord, if that's you, just call to me. Now, I wonder if about the time he got the words out of his mouth, he thought, oh, my goodness, what did I just say? Like sometimes we do. Oh, Lord, if your presence will just quicken to me one more time, I'll go and I'll do this, and I'll go and I'll pray for this one, and I'll go and I'll preach here, and I'll go and I'll do this, and I'll go and do that. And then you think, oh, but tomorrow's Monday, and it's going to be a lot harder for me to hold up to that than it was on Sunday. Lord, if it's you, just call to me and I'll come walking on the water to you. He said, come on, Peter. He said, goodness gracious. But what if he'd have said, now, I don't know how many fathoms deep that is. If I step, I might just keep on going. You know, science has proved that there's some places in the sea that's bottomless. And knowing my luck, I might be right over that spot. I wonder how deep this is. Any of you boys got a depth finder? Any of you boys ever check this out to see how deep she is right here? Oh, goodness. You know, scientifically, the physics of this thing are pretty much impossible. I mean, my feet are this size, and my weight is this, and, you know, and my feet aren't very buoyant, and my legs look like twigs. And if I put my feet out there, the weight and the gravity and the size and the shape, there's not enough buoyancy to keep me elevated on that liquid and churning water out there of the waves. I don't think scientifically this is going to work, Lord. He would have never walked on water. But he said, because you said.
Right.
Remember, he'd been fishing all night, and he'd cast the net, and he'd draw it back, and he'd cast the net, and he'd draw it back, and God said, why don't you cast on the other side of the boat?
Right.
Cast it on the right side. See, he'd been casting on the wrong side, but now he says, cast it on the right side of the boat. And he said, Lord, we've been fishing all night, but because it's you that says. Lord, I've tried this. I've tried going to church. I've tried my own works. I've tried my own self-righteousness. I don't have any. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've prayed. I've sought. I've did this. I've did that. Yes, but my word says this. Lord, but I've went to the doctor and the doctor said this. Yes, but my word said this. Yes, I've prayed for my children, but it just seems like they're getting further and further away. Yes, but my word said this. Yes, I've sought you. I've sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I just feel like I'm further away from you than I ever was. But my word said this. Oh, they've anointed me with oil 57 times, Lord, and I just don't seem like my symptoms are any better. But my word says this.
Right. Amen.
Okay, Lord, because it's you that said.
Amen.
Because it wasn't me, it wasn't the pastor, it wasn't the deacons, it wasn't the trustees, because you said, Lord. Take him at his word this morning. Take him at his word. Abel didn't even have a written word, but just a revelation began to quicken down on the inside of his heart. It's got to be more than fruits. There's something more to this. And by faith, he went stepping, and God honored his sacrifice. He goes walking by faith.
Amen.
He says, see, but he just took Christ at his word and walked on. He stepped that foot over the edge of the boat and out onto the water, and maybe he got one foot out there and got steady, and then he put another foot in front of him and got steady and thought, oh goodness. And as long as he was looking at Jesus, he just kept on walking.
Amen.
Didn't matter how high the waves was, didn't matter how loud the winds was or how strong they was, didn't matter how deep the water was, he just kept his eye on Jesus and kept walking and kept walking. The only problem he had was when he took his eyes off Jesus. You get your eyes on Jesus this morning, whatever you have need of. Get your eyes on Jesus and keep walking. Take Christ at his word and just keep walking. Keep stepping. Say, Lord, I'm not looking at the symptoms. I'm looking at you. Oh, but your back is this and your side is that and your head is this and your knee is that and your foot is this. Take God at his word and keep walking. Oh, but the doctor said, and I've got pain here, and I've got pain there, and I got discomfort over here, and I've got irritation over there. But the word said,
amen.
Take God at his word and just keep walking. Oh, my, if we could do that this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We read this as a verse, and we think, my, that's a good little verse. But do we really recognize what this means? That here he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, her adopted child, and he's sitting there with the whole kingdom. He was lined up to take over. And don't you think intellectually he could have worked his way through it and said, you know what? Yeah, there's a lot of slaves out there. And yeah, I recognize by revelation I'm really a Hebrew, but I'll just wait this thing out a little bit and I'll control the whole thing. I'll be ruler of it all and then I'll just let the slaves go. It'll be easy and I'll be sitting on easy street and I'll just say, you boys go on wherever you want to go. You do whatever you want to do. I'm in charge now. And I say you can go free. But it wasn't so much what Moses said. It was what God said.
Amen.
And it wasn't so much that God wanted just to give Moses a power just so that he could be the one that would set Israel free. But God wanted to prove that when it seemed impossible, when it seemed absolutely ridiculous, this one man with a crooked staff going down to set a million slaves free from the best military setup that had ever been, the strongest military nation that had ever been, and he's going to go down, all these chariots, all these spears, all these swords, and he goes down with the crooked staff and says, let my people go. Absolutely impossible intellectually. Absolutely ridiculous to the intellectual mind. This old 80-year-old man going to come down here to Pharaoh's doorstep with his crooked little staff and say, let my people go. Who does he think he is? What does he think he can do? He doesn't look like he's got enough power to move one Egyptian. Who does he think he is? It wasn't who he was. It was what was behind him. It wasn't so much just what he thought about it or what he said about it. It was what God said, and God had commissioned him. And from a child before the foundation of the world, he looked and he said, that little child that they're going to hide in that little basket is my deliverer that I'm sending to my people. And once Moses got a revelation of that, oh my, the palace looked mighty nice and all that power to reign looked mighty nice. But he got a revelation by faith of who he was, and he forsook all of that. Sometimes you have to forsake things to walk with God. Sometimes you have to forsake a little finances. Sometimes you have to forsake a few friendships. Usually it's not you that has to forsake them. Usually they run off and forsake you. Oh, you believe that Branham stuff, huh? Oh, you go over there to that church of the open door, huh? Oh, you believe this and you believe that, huh? You don't have to do the forsaking. Usually they'll be the ones that'll run right off. But by faith, he forsook all that. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he didn't care what the Egyptians thought of him or did to him. By faith, he didn't care what all he had to leave behind, all the riches, all the statues that could have been in his name, all the great symbols that they could have written of him in Egypt. But you know, if you go back and you really try to find some things about those pharaohs during the time of Moses, you might be able to find a slab of rock with some etching of their name and maybe a law that they passed. And maybe a big sign that they had that displayed their name over the city. But when you really try to go back and find some men in history of that era, you don't find a whole lot about them. But this man's name is eternal. A lot of the statues and things that they carved of the great pharaohs and things, they've been chipped away and rubbed away and washed away by sands and water. And there's not a whole lot of it left. But a man by inspiration picks up a hammer and a chisel and begins to shape the statue that he sees in his mind of what Moses looked like. And he gets to the spot that it becomes so real to him that he shaped this piece of stone in the image of what he saw in his mind by revelation, that he takes the hammer and he smites the knee and he says, "Speak." And it still lives on. And a vindicated prophet of God gets inspired to preach a sermon on a masterpiece from it. Amen. I've never got inspired by some sarcophagus or whatever it is that they keep those mummies in. Just a old dried up bag of bones wrapped in toilet paper. Hasn't ever gave me any inspiration. All the great things that they did, all the great property that they owned, all the power that they had, it's gone like the shifting sands of time, and they're not hardly remembered anymore at all. But this man, by faith, walks out when it was unpopular. By faith, walks out when it was the harder choice. By faith, walks out when it seemed impossible. And his name lives in eternity because he walked by faith and not by sight.
Right.
By sight, it would have been an easy decision. Oh, my. Pharaoh, you know, who knows? His heart may not last him through the night. All I got to do is just wait him out, and everything will be lined up perfectly for me. I can go ahead and deliver these guys and never get my feet dirty. But God wanted him to get his feet dirty. He didn't want him to be way up here as some ruler. He wanted him to get his feet dirty down there with the slaves too and become a servant.
All right.
By faith, he forsook Egypt. Moses looked out the window and he saw God's predestinated chosen people. And Pharaoh looks out the window and sees a bunch of slaves, a bunch of mud daubers, a bunch of people that in his sight weren't worth anything. If they died off, if they got killed off, if they got beat to death by his taskmasters, they didn't matter anything to him. They'd just raise up, you know, another 50,000 the next year or whatever it would be. And it didn't look like very much to him. But Moses looks by faith and says, those are God's chosen people. And he's called me to lead them. And even though he ran from it for a few years, by faith, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Right. By faith, Moses, 1958. And in this faith walk, there comes a time there has to be a choice. There was a choice for Moses. God didn't force him to do this, but he could look one direction and see what laid ahead of him in the kingdom of Egypt, all that laid ahead of him to be Pharaoh and to be ruler. And he could look out this way, and it seemed like in the natural side, all it was uncertainty. How are you going to provide for 2 million people? How are you going to feed 2 million people, Moses, even if you do convince Pharaoh to let them go? How are you going to clothe 2 million people? How are you going to provide for 2 million people? What are you going to do? Even if you can convince this mighty man, this great leader of this great nation and this great army, even if you can convince him to let these people go, it's just uncertainty. He said, no, God said so. It's not uncertain because God said so, but he had to make the choice. Many times we sit there and we're in it like Paul was, in a strait between two decisions. And this way looks awful easy. Oh, my, it'd be better for me over here. You know, maybe financially, maybe everybody would pat me on the back and say, oh, what a good guy he is. And over this way, it looks uncertain. It looks unstable. It looks shaky. But God said to go this way. Sometimes he puts us in those situations to make those tough choices. Verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Can you imagine as the angel of death comes sweeping through the streets that night and they hear screams just a few blocks away, wails, people beating on the floor and crying and sobbing and screaming out to whatever God they prayed to as their firstborn dies, and death all throughout the land, and they hear it getting closer. The screams are getting closer. The cries are getting closer. And they look around at Moses. Are you sure about this? I mean, scientifically, I don't have no idea what wiping some lamb's blood on our doorpost out there has to do with protecting us from that sound that's coming down the road there. But God said so.
Thank you, Lord.
By faith, I have confidence that he that gave the promise, even though we hear the screams of the others out there, I have confidence that this token that I applied to my home will protect my home. I don't understand the scientifics of it. Well, you don't have to. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. You know, it's amazing to me that always down through history, the very message of deliverance that God sends to one group is the message of judgment to the group that rejects it.
Right.
The very group that went with Noah, the very group that helped him build the ark, the very group that accepted his message, it was a message of deliverance to them that they wrote above the judgments. But to those that refused it, the very same message became their message of judgment. And the very ones that when they got their back right up against the Red Sea and they looked this direction and there was nothing but soldiers coming at them with chariots, and they looked that direction and there was nothing but rock walls, and that direction and there was nothing but rock walls, and that direction and there was nothing but a raging sea, and they said, we're trapped. We're trapped, Moses. Did you lead us out here to die? Weren't there enough graves back there in Egypt that you could have? He said, stand still. In other words, calm down and be quiet a minute. Stand still. Stop stressing out about every little thing that happens. They said, every little thing? This looks like a pretty big thing to me. He said, stand still. Calm down your worrying. Calm down your stressing. Calm down your frantic posting on Facebook and Twitter and trying to get everybody on your side. Just stand still a minute and see the salvation of God. Oh, but I'm facing this and I'm facing that. I got work problems. I got spiritual problems. I got emotional problems. I got physical problems. Sister so-and-so, she's sick with this, but I'm sicker with it than she is. And brother so-and-so, he's got that trouble, but I've got it worse than he does. And brother so-and-so over here, he's got financial trouble, but I'm even deeper in financial debt than he is. Stand still.
All right.
And see the salvation of God. Stop trying to do it all on yourself. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop trying to get it with your works and your good self-righteous goody-goodiness. Stand still a minute and see what God can do. Stop putting your faith in your own ability. Stop putting your faith in yourself or your wisdom or your intellect for a moment long enough to stand still and see the salvation of God. Try him out and see what he can do for your situation. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Absolutely impossible. Water behind them, surrounded. But God made a way where there was no way. You mean you believe that, Brother Nathan? I heard that it was just a sea of reeds that they walked through. As the man said, oh, bless God, that would have been an even greater miracle. All the Egyptian army drowned in a sea of reeds. You mean you actually believe that story? You don't believe that's just some fairy tale? I believe it. How? By faith. Amen. Why? Because he's taken me through some places that was impossible.
Amen.
By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Verse 32. And excuse me, let's go to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You talk about unscientific. Let's just stop here a moment. Joshua and his entire army, and he'd been one of the spies that was sent out to, you know, investigate this area a few years before. And all of them came back. 12 spies out of the 12 tribes of Israel, chief men that they selected to go and spy out the land. And they come back, and 10 of them says, their walls are too big, their men are too strong, we look like grasshoppers in their sight, we're not able. And there was 2 of them that was a little bit farther behind than the rest of them. And they was tired from walking up all those hills and valleys. And they got there, and they set those grapes off of their shoulders, and they dragged themselves up to the council meeting and tried to catch their breath. And they said, well, Joshua, Caleb, what have you to say? These 10 say the walls are too big, the men are too strong, we're too small, our military power is too incapable, our weapons are insignificant compared to theirs. What do you say? It's true. Biggest walls I've ever seen. But Joshua, you're a stone builder from Egypt, and you cut out all those rocks. I don't care, biggest walls I've ever seen. It's true. Biggest men we ever seen. Bigger than any Egyptian I ever saw. Bigger than any Israelite we ever saw. We look like little bitty midgets up beside him. It's true. What say you, Joshua? Biggest grapes I ever saw, too.
All right.
Moses was right. He didn't promise us it'd be easy. He promised us it'd be a land flowing with milk and honey. And I brought back the evidence.
All right.
This man has told you the truth. This man is a vindicated prophet. I brought back the evidence. And it's not going to be easy, boys. In fact, I figure it's going to be pretty difficult and nigh on to impossible. But God said so. How are you going to do it, Joshua? How are you going to do it, Caleb? 10 say that we can't do it. How are you going to do it? Because God said so.
Amen.
By faith, I'm going. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to be. But I know I'm following a vindicated prophet. And I've got some evidence of some signs and wonders following. Amen. That he's still with the believer. I believe by faith that it's all going to be just right.
All right.
Now Moses dies. And God tells Moses before he goes on, he says, come up here to Mount Pisgah and look north, south, east, and west at all this land. You're not going to go over. But I want you, there's a young man in the camp that you've been noticing. And I want you to encourage him because he's going to be the one that's going to take the people on in. You encourage this young man and you strengthen this young man. And now the dispensation has changed. And Moses is in a grave that even Lucifer argued with the archangel Michael about where it was at. He said, I don't know where. He said, all I saw was he went up the side of the mountain, and the next thing I knew he wasn't there. He said, tell me where that grave is. He brought a railing accusation against him. And Michael didn't argue and fight with him and fuss with him and try to prove it to him. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't try to prove him wrong. He didn't try to find historical documentation of Moses' grave. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. I'm too busy doing a good work. I'll let the Lord rebuke you. And Joshua, this man that God has anointed to take the children over, he gets to the city of Jericho, their first battle after the prophet going off the scene. And he's facing this great battle and these great walls and these great giants of men. And he's standing there. And God says, what are you going to do, Joshua? I'm going to do whatever you say, Lord. What do you think? Should we try to barricade it? Should we try to ram the walls? Should we try to burn it? Should we try to climb over the edge? He said, just march around it. How long, Lord? Well, once a day for 6 days and then 7 times the 7th day. All right, and then what, Lord? That's all. This is the military strategy? That's right, Joshua. You got confidence in me? Lord, you've brought me through trials. You've brought me through waters. You've brought me through deserts. You've brought me through where I didn't have anything to drink and I didn't have anything to eat, but you provided. You brought me through when I didn't have a Kmart or a JCPenney, but my clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. You brought me through when there was no way through the Red Sea. You delivered me from the hand of my taskmasters. I don't understand it, Lord, but I trust you. And my faith, he began to march. And the Jericho soldiers began to look over. Look at this army. Look at these little bitty guys. Too scared to even come and fight. They're just marching around the city. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And his army begins to get a little unsettled. Now, Joshua, I don't want to question your ability. I know that Moses said you were a great general and that you were going to lead us. But all we've done is walk in circles for the last six church ages. I mean, 6 days. And I'm beginning to get a little confused here. I'm beginning to get a little confused. I don't understand the military strategy. I don't understand what we're doing here. He said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. And the seventh day, they marched around again. They don't have any battering rams. They don't have any missiles. They've just got their marching shoes on. And they march around it. Remember, footsteps means possessions. And they kept marching around and marching around. Finally, the seventh time, he said, all right, now you can blow the trumpets. Now you can shout. Now you can rejoice a little bit. And all of a sudden, you know, those men looking over the edges of the wall, they had their hand there looking down. Would you come over here a minute? Look at this crazy army. Here they are again. This time, today, they've walked. This is almost the seventh time they've been around. And now that they're blowing some trumpets and they're getting all excited, just an emotional affair, you know, just a lot of noise. And he noticed where his hand was, there began to be a little split in the stone. And he thought, I don't remember seeing that there before. Did you ever see that there before? We need to get this wall inspected. Call the inspectors up here and let's get this wall inspected. And they begin to hear a noise and they begin to see more splits in the rock. And the earth began to shake and the walls began to fall down everywhere around him. And they began to scream and to cry. What was it? It wasn't Joshua's ability. Wasn't Joshua's strength. It was Joshua by faith standing on the word of God. I don't understand, Lord, but this is what you said to do, and I'm just going to keep walking.
Amen.
As the dust settled, they noticed right on the wall, there was one little house. All the rest of it fell down everywhere. One little house that stood, and maybe as some of them were dying, they thought, oh my, I wish we would have had Rahab's architect. But it had nothing to do with the architect of her home.
Come on.
It had everything to do with the architect of her body.
Amen.
By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now explain to me scientifically how these walls fell. Oh, it was just circumstantial. Just an earthquake. That's pretty circumstantial. Pretty good timing. Pretty circumstantial. I don't believe in circumstance for a Christian.
Nope.
And then explain to me how, you know, this circumstantial earthquake that happened that knocked down all these walls that the men couldn't knock down themselves, God comes on the scene and does something. You know, I don't think insurance covers acts of God, so I don't know what they did there in Jericho for their insurance plans, Brother Hoover. But, you know, it just everything falls apart. For everybody out there in Laodicea, I mean, Jericho, and there's one house that's standing firm. Brother Branham said this world would go completely insane if the world lasted another 50 years. Well, go look at your calendar. She's here. She's here. Complete insanity. People going insane, killing one another, raping one another, doing one another wrong, all kinds of perversion, all kinds of insanity. But there's one group that's standing strong through the whole thing, the bride of Jesus Christ. Because she's not depending on herself or her own ability. She's depending on Jesus Christ and him crucified. By faith, Rahab, when it seemed impossible, when everything else around her was shaking, so much that it shook to its very core, to its very foundation, and shook to the ground, she was planted on a solid foundation. It wasn't that her house was built better. It wasn't that her house was structurally more prepared for this type of event. It was that she was depending on a promise. By faith, Rahab. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Notice it wasn't by their strength. It wasn't by their intellectual ability. Through faith they did these things. Through faith they subdued kingdoms. Through faith they wrought righteousness. Through faith they obtained promises. Through faith they stopped the mouths of the lions. Quenched the violence of the fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Right. And we think, oh goodness, what valiant men they must have been. What soldiers of the faith they may have been. But let's read a little further. Verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Amen.
You've heard of little David and his slingshot. You've heard of fearless David and his sling, rather. You've heard of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale, we often sing. There are many, many others in the Bible. I'd like to meet them all, I do declare. But it's some of the ones from Laodicea that they're going to really be excited to see there.
Amen.
You're going to be running up, oh my, Samson, what a mighty man you were. Oh, David, how your psalms encouraged me, and how your story, even through your faults and your failures, it encouraged me that God could look at you and call you a man that was after his own heart. You were so encouraging to me. Paul, your teachings, they gave me such a foundation and settled me so many times when false doctrine was sweeping this way and that way. I would go back and read what you wrote, and I would remember that Brother Branham said that all that you taught, he taught, and it would just settle me so much. I thank you so much. We'll run up to the different ones, and they'll say, wait a minute, Hoover, let's see, that was a Laodicea character, wasn't it? Pastor, well, I think you're from Laodicea, aren't you? You're the ones who's saying, I want to shake. Without you, I couldn't have been made perfect.
Right. Amen.
Yarborough, Sergeant, my, I've heard about you guys. We've been watching this thing from another dimension.
Right.
I've seen what you faced. I didn't face what you faced. I didn't have to deal with the temptations that you had to deal with. I didn't have to overcome the technology and oppression and demon powers that was released out of the river Euphrates to torment and try to discourage and try to deceive the very elected if it was possible. I didn't face all that like you did. Without us, they should not be made perfect. How are you going to make it? By faith. Brother Bram says in the rapture 1965, he says, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. That the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. How are you going to do it, Brother Nathan? From faith to faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm living by faith. I'm stepping by faith. And it's a revelation to me. Brother Branham said, you are the rapture. We worry about, will I make the rapture? Will I be a part of the rapture? Will I be in the rapture? If you got the Holy Ghost, Brother Bram said, you are the rapture.
Amen.
And it becomes a revelation to you that this is something that is promised to me personally, that they can't go without me, that they can't rise without me, that they won't be able to go in without me, because without me, they aren't perfect. If it becomes a personal revelation to you that way, then all the demons out of hell can't shake you off your foundation.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, 1959. You say, but Brother Branham, I made a mistake last week or last month. He says, I don't care how many mistakes you make. We don't hear a lot of message preachers say this, but he said, I don't care how many mistakes you make. We've all sinned and come short of the glory. If you're a child of Abraham, you're ready to recognize that is sin and come back to God again, and God's mercy still hangs to you. I don't care how many mistakes you made, he said. God's mercy still hangs on to you. But Brother Nathan, last week I went through this, and last month I went through that, and you just don't know the things I've gone through. No, I don't know. I don't know what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what Satan's tried to do to you and how he's tried to wreck your life. But I can promise you this, I don't care what you've done, God's mercy is still hanging on to you.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, what if I've sinned away my day of grace? Brother Branham said, if you had, you would have no desire to sit in a meeting like this.
Amen.
Amen. Faith is the substance. Faith is the sixth sense, rather, 1960. If the musicians would come, I want you to listen to this very carefully. Brother Branham is in a prayer line. He's praying for a little child that has a birth defect. Faith is the sixth sense, 1960. He says, you believe for the little baby? Now look, I know it's a birth condition, he says, but that don't have nothing to do. What the devil done any time, God can take it away. He says, you believe that? I curse the devil that did this to this child. In the name of Jesus Christ, may this baby be well. Now she was looking at this as, you know, this isn't just a sickness. This isn't just a cold or this isn't just something that came upon the child. This is a birth defect. This is something, the child was just born that way. And a prophet of God looks and he says, I know that you're worried about that. I know you're thinking that way. But what the devil done anytime, God can take it away. I don't care if it's mental. I don't care if it's spiritual. I don't care if it's emotional. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's a friendship that's been ruined. If it's a family situation. What the devil did anytime, God can take it away. We serve a God of restoration. We serve a God of deliverance. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bad the circumstances are. What the devil done anytime, God can take it and just reverse it and put it exactly back the way that it should be. Everything that we see, earthquakes in diverse places, hurricanes, tornadoes, this crazy weather that we have in southern Indiana might be 70 one day and negative 70 the next day. You never know. That's because of what Satan did. But one day, God's going to just reverse that. And he's going to set it right back up the way that it's supposed to be. Sicknesses in your body. Maybe it was something you was born with. Maybe it's a temptation you've struggled with since you was a little child. Maybe it's some type of oppression or something that Satan has tried to place on you. That's not God's perfect will for your life.
Amen.
That's not what God's plan was. Anything that the devil did, anything that the devil tried to twist or pervert or ruin or try to rob you of, God can take it away.
Amen.
You say, but it's just been this way for, you know, I've been this way for 38 years. This is just how it is, I guess. No, you don't have to accept that lie of the devil. You don't, but I've been sick for so long, Brother Nathan. It's just, you know, I guess it's just my lot in life. No, you don't have to accept that lie of the devil. God can take it away.
Amen.
That little lady in Finland that I prayed for 24 years. 24 years she'd had thyroid problems. 23 years she'd had chronic pain in her left ear. And just one touch, Brother Arnie. It wasn't Nathan Bryant that touched her. Oh, I may have physically touched her ear with a prayer cloth. But it wasn't Nathan Bryant that touched her. There was nothing I could do to help the woman. But 24 years of sickness gone in a moment because God can take it away no matter what the devil did. God can change the circumstances no matter what the devil did. No matter how dark it looks, no matter how your circumstances are, no matter what your symptoms are, God can take it away. If you can get a revelation by faith that this isn't just the words of a pastor this morning, these aren't just quotes, these aren't just scriptures, this isn't just a feel-good talk or a pep rally or a self-help program, this is a revelation to me personally that God can right any wrong. God can make a way where there is no way. God can move on the scene and change circumstances in my life. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what the lawyer says, no matter what anybody says, God can take it away.
Amen.
Amen. You believe that this morning?
Amen.
If you can make that personal to you, when's it going to happen, Brother Nathan? I don't know. It might happen like that. Might be 5 minutes, might be 5 days, might be 5 years. Abraham waited 25 years But it didn't change the promise. Time didn't change the promise. What he could look at and what he could see and how long it had been didn't change the promise. And he just kept holding on. Lord, it's been 23 years, but I'm still holding on. Lord, it's been 24 years, but I'm still holding on. Lord, it's been 24 years and 6 months and 3 days, but I still believe that you're faithful that gave the promise. Amen. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at your calendar. Don't look at your symptoms. Look to the promise. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, by faith, we look to the promise. Lord, by faith, Lord, we look as seeing him who is invisible. Lord, we're not depending on ourselves. We're not depending on our works. We're not depending on our righteousness. But Lord, we're solely depending on your word and your promise to us that by faith we're living, Lord. Lord, may you just move on the scene. Oh, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, maybe there's many sitting here this morning. They need a touch from you. They need a miracle, Father. They need you to make a way where it seems like there is no way. They're facing circumstances, Lord, that they can't get around or under or over, Father, but may you come like you did at the raging Red Sea, Father, and make a way through. Lord, may you come like you did for the Hebrew children, stand right in the middle of their fiery trial with them this morning. Lord, may you take control. Lord, no matter what Satan has tried to do, no matter how Satan has tried to hinder, Lord, we know that you're able to make every wrong right. You're able to change the circumstances. Lord, we're depending on you this morning. By faith, we look and we accept the promise as a personal revelation to us, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I believe we can sing this morning. All is well. Yes, all is well. Yeah. Let's worship the Lord together this morning.
Thank you.
our heads again as they play that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, with your presence here, Father, Lord, may we accept what you did for us that day on Calvary. Lord, may we accept, Father, by faith, as your prophet said this morning, that anything that the devil did, Lord, that you can make it right. Any way that he's tried to hinder, Father, you can turn the situation around, Father. Anything that he's tried to pervert, you can bring deliverance to. Anything that he's tried to rob us of, you can bring restoration to, Father. Oh, may we recognize it by faith this morning. Lord, may our faith rise up, Lord, and accept that it's a finished work. Lord, as we read the other night, Father, your prophet said that anything that God can do for you, Lord, he spoke it on the tape to us Sunday night. Anything that God can do for you, he's already done it. He's already paid the price. It's already a finished work. Lord, we accept it by faith this morning. We accept it by faith, Lord. Lord, we accept these miracles, Lord, that you're trying to give to us, Lord. Each individual person, our personal miracle, Father, our personal need, our personal circumstances that we're facing, Lord, we accept deliverance. We accept healing, Father. We accept victory. We accept joy. We accept peace. We accept deliverance this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. May you just pour out miracles upon your people this morning, Father, we pray. And accept it and believe together by faith in Jesus Christ's name. Let's sing it again.
Shall renew their strength, oh, and they.
Let's sing it again together. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their bounds up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall ought to know.
everybody.